Rise and shine, Nashville. We got sports to talk about. This is Robbie and Rexroad. I'm not Robbie nor Rexroad, but I am Elijah Campbell alongside Joe Rexroad. Engineering you here through the next 4 hours. Michelle Knezovic behind the glass, as always. Almost a full house. I'll replace Robbie here for this week as Robbie's taking a much-deserved vacation. But I'm happy to be with you guys. I have not opened the show's Google Doc to look at the grid since December 29th. So it's nice to join you guys in the year of our Lord 2022.
So like 1.5 seconds before the show starts, Elijah's like, so who's running point?
So I talked to Michelle about this, but I never actually talked to you about it. And I was like, this would be a nightmare if we both start talking at the same time.
I'm like,
we both false start. We're like, starting 5 yards back.
Like, Elijah?
I let him run a little bit.
Yeah, it's much better for you to run point, as people may or may not know.
I figured you might like it that way. I figured.
Well, but I think the ears of people out there will like it that way.
Joe gets stressed.
I just sort of, you know, I guess I'm not a multitasker. I don't know.
It's an art.
Yes,
it is definitely an art.
It is. Microphone one.
Joe needs to know if he's microphone one like 10 days in advance.
So yeah, I need to read all the, you know. The promos and stuff, yeah.
That was my favorite thing of filling in producing whenever Robbie wasn't here for this show and you had somebody else here and you would be running point. And you're just like, hey, do I read this one now? And I'm like, I should have the time up there. I was like, you can read it whenever you want, actually. I won't pigeonhole you to one specific time.
Yeah.
On when to do the reads. So.
Yeah. I don't know. It's like maybe it's right brain, left brain. I don't know what it is.
It might be.
But you're going to do a great job running the point this week.
And I'm glad I established it right as the show was starting. Which, if there's anything more on brand for me than establishing something the second something starts, then we accomplished that today.
There you go.
But as I prefaced everything with, there were a lot of sports to talk about. For a June weekend, we have a lot of ammo to work with. We don't have to dig into our Mount Rushmores or our top 10 lists just yet. We can dip into those once we run out of steam, but like, man, when the greatest college baseball regular seasons of all time underachieved in a shocking way over the course of 2.5 innings on Sunday as Tennessee gets ousted by Notre Dame in game 3 of the Super Regional. Joe, you were at the scene of this sports crime.
I'd
say probably the most polarizing college baseball team that I can remember. I mean, there's not many of them. It's not like college baseball produces a lot of these like love or hate teams, and that's why I think this team was so much fun to cover all year long. But from the Drew Gilbert getting tossed in game 1 for F-bombing an umpire to them still winning game 2 without him and hitting a dozen home runs in one inning, it seemed like, to blowing a 3-1 lead late in the game yesterday. The Super Regional definitely didn't disappoint, even in losses. They did not disappoint in terms of the entertainment value that series brought.
It's an incredibly devastating loss, I'd say, for the Tennessee fan. I'd say it's an incredibly gratifying outcome for a lot of other fan bases. I've been fighting with one of them constantly on Twitter since last night when my column posted, which we can talk about later, but essentially, you know, the Vols got beat by Notre Dame. Notre Dame was better than Tennessee. I don't think Tennessee handled the pressure. They didn't play great baseball. Really, they didn't play great baseball most of this tournament. But this idea that this is like karma or something because they, you know, threw up a middle finger or whatever. If I'm Tennessee right now, it's a killer, man, because these fans were so into it. And this team was the best team. This was the best team, by far the best pitching staff, the best everything. Like, there's a one seed every year, and one seeds have not won this thing since 99, which is crazy.
That's nuts.
But a lot of the one seeds may not be that much different from the 3 or even the 5, right?
On your average year. I mean, probably, yeah. I mean, there's probably 6 or 7 teams that can genuinely win it every year.
Yeah, like some years there is a clear one. Vanderbilt in 07 was one of those teams, mm-hmm. which, of course, lost in the regional. But this was absolutely the best team. They didn't play well. They didn't handle the pressure. Some of them, I mean, Drew Gilbert, I think, was 3-for-20 in the tournament. He gets caught, you know, trying to get take second when you're down four runs? I mean, like, that they made so many mistakes.
Yeah, that I didn't understand at all. I'm not a big going for stolen bases, and that's maybe the analytics nerd in me, but I don't love in that situation.
You can't do it.
Where you have the lineup you have. And I don't know if that was a coaching thing. I don't know if he got instruction to run on that or if he went rogue, but, like, I think once that happened, that's when it was like, oh, they're in trouble. Because even down four runs, if they have a runner on, it still feels like that team can get out of that hole because they've just done it all year.
Yeah. I mean, in any team, I mean, if you're down a bunch of runs, you know, late in the game, like, you can't get caught on the bases. You can't. So, I know. I think he saw the ball get away and he just made a bad decision. They had a lot of those. So, it was a crusher for Vols fans. But my point, and again, we can talk about it later too because I know we're going to get to other stuff. My point is, do exactly what you've been doing. Do exactly what you've been doing. I mean, this, you know, it was still an incredible year, and most of what they did this year was just fine. There were a couple things where it's like, yeah, I wouldn't advise that. You can't get thrown out of a game. Sure.
Like, it's negative PR. I don't know if it's, like, morally incorrect, but, like, it does, like, kind of come off as starts with D, rhymes with swooshy. Like, it does come off that way. But, and then, like, the getting yourself kicked out of the game thing. Like, on Saturday, that's what I said was the most egregious part. It, like, that, the Drew Gilbert getting kicked out of that game reeked of 2016 NBA Finals where Draymond Green kicked LeBron James right in the testicles and then eventually get suspended for a game that was the turning point of the series, and then they end up giving it away and ruining a historic season because one dude couldn't keep his cool.
Which, by the way, on that play, you know, he kicked his foot out. I mean, it's like, yeah. he actually could be like, I'm going to kick him right here. But, yeah, anyway, no, you're right. And I said that night in the press box, I'm like, there's a Draymond call right there.
Yep.
That's a Draymond call. Now, look, I said that, and then you watch the slow-mo, and it's, I mean, you drop three straight F-bombs, effing terrible, effing awful, effing terrible, that's how I read it. Okay. And you've been warned, which is something we didn't know until the So, I mean, you can't do it. So they lost their cool. Couple things, and those two guys, Gilbert and Beck in particular, they are on the edge. Most of this year, they had a blast.
And that's how they played well. Yeah. Like, that's, like, if you're playing with an edge is how they became to where they were. That's how they won their 56, 57 games this season. So, like, obviously that's not the reason they lost, you know. But there was some decline, especially in pitching this season too. Once you're giving up, like, four run innings to teams like Campbell, which, trust me, I am the engineer, the conductor of the Campbell Fighting Campbell's bandwagon in any sport, any year. However, at your home park, in playoff settings, like, you can't even get down to those kind of teams and then expect to keep that up and having this magical fairy dust that you've been injecting at the entire playoff run to last all the way up throughout the College World Series. There's a lot of playing with fire there and trying to dig yourself out of holes that eventually, like yesterday, became insurmountable.
Yeah, well, and look, I think baseball is different. Baseball is a sport that is going to distill the pressure, and, like, everyone's going to take their turn, you know, under the microscope, right? It's not like in these other sports where it's constant activity. There's a lot of things you can do collectively and just you can do effort-wise to overcome things like that. Baseball, you're going to stand there, and we're all going to watch you try to hit that, or you're going to stand on the mound, and you better deliver this pitch right now. So I think baseball, when there's a team that has huge pressure like this, it's more likely to affect the team because it's each individual has their turn, right?
There's a lot of individuality.
Part of why I love baseball, right? And it probably helps explain, again, the tournament expanded to 64 teams in 1999. The Miami Hurricanes won it all that year, and no one has done it since, which is just really wild.
Yeah.
I mean, forget the President's Trophy curse. You know, don't be the one seed in this tournament.
Yeah, and that's one thing, too, I think it more so has to do with just the parity of the sport. And for the first time, we saw a team that was that dominant, even like the years that Vanderbilt's winning it. Like, they weren't that much better than every team, you know. Some years they might
There were some other teams that were in their neighborhood in 19.
Especially, like, in the SEC. Like, in the SEC, it's like, okay, well, you're on par with a bunch of these teams. Like, Arkansas can give them a run for their money. But, like, you looked at it was Tennessee versus the field in the SEC tournament. It was Tennessee versus the field in the NCAA tournament. Like, they were just that much further along than everybody else. And I want to like liken this to the 07 Vanderbilt team, because you had the all-world pitcher in David Price. You had Pedro Alvarez. You had a bunch of MLB players on that team. And that was the one that felt like it was Vanderbilt versus the field, and they lost to a team that felt like didn't belong on the field with them.
Well, and by the way, in 19, Vanderbilt plays in the final series against Michigan, you know, which beat number one seed UCLA. No one, I mean, Michigan shouldn't have been all the way to the final series. Right? Maybe Notre Dame is that team this year. Maybe
they could be.
You know, maybe that's the under-discussed part of this whole thing, is that, by the way, Notre Dame, great job. Clutch.
It takes a lot of stones to go into the home team's park, which that home team has a discernible advantage in that park, and come out winning 2 of 3. That's remarkable. And for Tennessee, too, I feel like this is one of those classic, like it's 50-50. Notre Dame went in there and stole it. Tennessee gagged a lot of it away. We'll talk about this all show, of course. We'll continue the discussion on the other side. Joe wrote about it, so we're going to talk about it. Tennessee falls to Notre Dame. Historic season is over. We'll discuss next. Robbie and Rex Road, ESPN 102.5, 106.3 The Game, The Game Nashville app.
That's a lot. A team that, bunch of good kids, a couple maniacs out there, but accused of bats. I've never seen a kid accused of doctoring a ball, accused of doing the Astros and banging on the bench. There's other. I mean, accused of signaling 3-3, and that's supposed to be the double bird. A lot of that stuff was just, yeah, you know, because of how dynamic they were as a group and what they accomplished. And they did some extraordinary things. And really, it was just kind of like yesterday. You slide Trey Lipscomb into the four hole, Drew Gilbert's out, and gets an RBI in the first inning. That obviously is not the most important play of the weekend, but it's one, to me, that defines this group of a bunch of guys that got each other's back.
That was Coach Tony Vitello yesterday, and he's right. 57 is a lot. That's a lot of anything. And 57 isn't the amount of donuts I can eat in a 2-day sitting. It's the amount of wins they had in an entire season, Joe Rexroad. 57 wins. I did hear a stat, too, that this Tennessee team was the first SEC baseball team in conference history to win that amount of games and not get to the College World Series. They're only the fifth team to win that many games in a season, the first of which to not make it to Omaha. So obviously a colossal disappointment in that regard, but you wrote about, too, on The Athletic, about this team's edge being the reasons why they are the way they are and that they shouldn't stop doing it. And then, honestly, they shouldn't. It's just when you look right now of how something like this happens in college baseball, where it's not like a single elimination kind of deal, you have some margin for error. And the pitching woes they kind of had in the regionals kind of crept up to bite them in the rear on yesterday.
Yeah. Well, you know, look, Chase Dolander was amazing in an incredibly high-pressure situation Saturday, game two.
SEC pitcher of the year for
us. Yeah, he's their ace. He pitched like it. They absolutely, I mean, they knocked Notre Dame's ace out of the game. So at that point, you had not a great first game. You have the Drew Gilbert stuff. You're like, oh, my gosh, he's out for the next game. Oh, and Frank Anderson, pitching coach, out for the next three games, which now, by the way, means Frank Anderson will be suspended for the opener next year. Then he can return to the bench. So it looked pretty precarious for Tennessee. And then it's like, oh, there they are. They're unstoppable. Their bats are just, you know, it's just this ridiculous lineup. And then their ace looks like it. And then yesterday, Chase Burns looks like a freshman All-American. I mean, he's cruising 73 pitches through six innings, giving up one run. Freshman, you know, a year ago, he's at Beach High. And he's doing this, and it's just like, okay, now you see it. This is why they are what they are. They've got tremendous options to start games. They've got arms everywhere. They've got bats everywhere. And then, I mean, Vitello, I will say that it's very easy to second-guess things when they go wrong, of course.
Right.
Which we all do. But before it got to the point where all of a sudden you've got a guy who has one homer this year, tying the game with a line shot that is, I would say, not out in any other college baseball park in America.
When the corners are 320, I would say you're correct in that assessment.
So before that, and then before Brannigan hits a bomb to make it 4-3 Notre Dame, before any of that, there was a lot of talk in the press box, including from some of the beat writers that stand there like, he's got to get him now. You can see it. It's like he's pitched really well, but you get into the seventh inning, you got a freshman, he's done more than what you could have asked him. You got to be quick to get him out of there. Now, does Frank Anderson not being there have anything to do with it? I don't know. I mean, Vitello kind of downplayed that.
Maybe.
Yeah.
I mean,
but Vitello's still making. Yeah. I mean, Vitello's still making the call.
What's Anderson going to do? Like, tell him some magic words to,
right,
to prevent that from happening?
Yeah. Right. Exactly. But Vitello went too long with him. And so that was, one mistake. But then again, from there, it's like everything fell apart. So, it's just it. Like you said, there's margin for error, but also it's just the sport of baseball. It can be, great teams in Major League Baseball. If you're a great team, you lose 62 games in a year, right?
I mean,
you're a great hitter, you fail 70% of the time. I mean, it's just a different kind of sport. And as far as the, and I continue as we talk to just go back and forth on Twitter. I've got so many Vanderbilt people all over me. I understand why people hated Tennessee. I totally get it.
This is the most polarizing college baseball team, I would say, of all time. And I have only watched college baseball for about 20-plus years, a shade over 20 years. But I never remember a team that garnered this much emotional reaction from one side or another.
So, I agree. And I think that there are some fair criticisms. Don't throw up the middle finger in the middle of a play, okay? I mean, it's funny.
But it can be construed the wrong way.
That's too far. Drew Gilbert on the field, if you've watched this team closely, Maniac is what Vitello used in that. That's probably about right. Those two. So they had some things like that. But, people getting mad about the fur coat when you hit a home run.
Who cares?
Get out of here. Yeah. So what happens in college football? You have the wear the chain or the turnover.
Turnover trash can from Butch Jones' tenure.
And beyond that, let's talk specifically about Vanderbilt. I've seen plenty of Vanderbilt players who throw an F-bomb toward an opponent on the field of play. This happens.
Oh, yeah.
I've seen Vanderbilt celebrations at home plate that were a little bit in your face. That happens. It's an emotional game. Granted, the famous thing with Vanderbilt was Luke Smith screaming at them the other way, right, from Louisville.
Right,
That became a big viral moment. But I think a lot of these other fan bases are acting like, our players would never do such a thing. Disrespecting. Get out of here. That's not true. And another thing, if these were your players, if Vitello was your coach, you'd rationalize every damn thing they do.
Because winning's
fun. That's really my point here. And, we're never going to agree on this stuff as I continue to battle on Twitter with everybody. But I'll continue to respond to you on Twitter if you'd like to fight me.
Well, because winning's a hell of a drug. And it's one of the strongest ones out there. And it can make you ignore a lot of things about your team, fandom and winning too. Those are two of the strongest drugs that float around planet Earth, and a lot of it makes you almost ignorant to a lot of the things that your favorite team does. Like anyone would want to be Tennessee. I'm one of the all-time people when it comes to, I don't like to judge everything about a team season based on what happens in the postseason. And if you're Tennessee, and I tell you going into the year you're gonna go 57-9 and you're gonna win the SEC tournament almost easily, I think you sign up for that. I think you absolutely sign up for that without me telling you what happens in the Super Regionals.
Yeah, I think you have a point there, there's more to it than just the end. But
this one is an all-timer.
This one's going to leave a mark. All-timer. Yeah, this one's going to leave a mark, And a lot of guys are going to be gone, too, for this team. Gilbert back.
Mm-hmm.
Blade Tidwell, those guys all could go in the first round. Lipsius, Well, the funny thing is a lot of the guys who really created this sort of edgy
environment,
us against, yeah, I mean, they're leaving. I don't, now Vitello is that guy too. He's
edgy.
He's edgy. He's on the bench. But even with Vitello, like, is Vitello, I mean, I see that all this, the classless, you know. I don't know. When they lost yesterday, I saw him
he
walk.
He seemed pretty generous.
Saw him walked over to the Notre Dame coaches, give them all a congrats. Yeah, he threw the bat the one time this year.
Yeah.
Shouldn't do that. He bumped the ump this year. Shouldn't do that. They lose their emotions sometimes. They are super competitive and, again, edgy and whatever you want to call it. So, you know, they've also paid the price at times for those things.
Because also emotional to a fault, like game one of the Super Regional. Like, Frank Anderson knows that if he leaves the bullpen, or not the bullpen, leaves the dugout with Vitello to argue, he's getting tossed. Like, I think that's a pretty basic thing. And he still went out there anyway. And it's like, you know damn well it's going to happen. If you leave that dugout with the coach to go argue, you're getting tossed.
And Frank Anderson, again, I mean, he may be... I mean, and that's where, I don't know, maybe they missed that. That's one thing Vitello said yesterday, is like his competitiveness on the bench is something that they miss in games. But, I mean, he may set the tone for that as much as anyone. Again, like you said, to a fault, sometimes it goes too far. I wouldn't change a thing if I was Tennessee. I'd keep doing exactly what you're doing. And I'd actually be interested to hear from Tennessee fans on that. Like, I'm sure, you know, I've seen a lot of, like, I'm never going to get excited for another Tennessee team, you know. I mean, of course that's going to be the reaction, you know, in this moment. Yeah, Michelle, you like this team. Oh, and are you happy now that they lost?
Well, here's the thing. I told you I like this team. I love their swagger, everything about them. But, I mean, the fact that they lost, like...
It is kind of funny.
Now you
to
just
me,
turn
though,
your
yeah.
back on them. Now you're just going to taunt them.
No, I never said I was, well... I might have said
you said you
fan.
Loved them. You said you loved
I
them.
I do love their swagger, Gen Z, like Instagrammy fur coats and all that. Also, somebody on the text line, age. Sam, said that you're a Tennessee homer this morning.
Yes. Let's get it going. Yes. Let's get it going.
That's funny.
Yeah, I mean, look, it's great. In the SEC, these fan bases go at each other. And that's fine. And I'm fully endorsing Vanderbilt fans, Arkansas fans. Talk all the trash. Talk.
Oh, you deserve
all
to dance
trash.
On the grave when you are like
absolutely.
Tennessee. You are that brash. You are that confident. You do a lot of the stuff you do. It's so much fun when you win. However, everybody else has the right to dance on your grave once you finally go in.
And they will. And they'll do it at triple the normal. You know, the normal intensity, and that's great. I'm just saying. If you want to take this to C, don't act like that because it's going to get you. I reject that. They lost in the game of baseball. They didn't handle the pressure, some of them, of the moment. This is not because of how they act. I don't believe. I fully reject that. And this team could have won it all, but they didn't, and they're done.
They didn't. In classic University of Tennessee fashion, a team that had a chance to win it all did not, nor did they get as close as they probably should have. We'll get your text on the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. We'll pose the question, should you get excited about a University of Tennessee athletic team ever again? We'll discuss next. Robbie and Rexrod, ESPN, 102.5, 106.3 The Game, The Game Nashville app. You can hear our lovely voices every morning from 6 to 10 a.m. here on the terrestrial airwaves, but you can also watch our pretty faces streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every day. Our video streaming is brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. And our text line is brought to you, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And we've already got a good question from Liam, who asked Michelle, who ends up with more wins this season, UT baseball or my beloved Cincinnati Reds? A, rude. B, it's probably UT baseball. What say you, Michelle?
Nah, don't ask Michelle.
Well, Elijah, I had a called shot a couple weeks ago that Cincinnati would only win 22 games this year.
Slight hyperbole, but not that slight.
I say they get to 50. I say they get to 50, so Tennessee still got them.
Hey, if they win more than 57 games, I might pop a bottle of champagne. They're so bad. I hate them. I hate them so much and what they do to me. Absolutely despise them.
Well, the Tigers are awful too. So,
and the Tigers actually had some hope going into
this. Exactly. Yeah. There was actually some hype for that team, and it's like, oh, they're batting 220 as a team, and a historically bad team.
Yeah.
Offensive team.
So. And I said before the season, in an episode of The Six with Max Herz, and I said, you know what? My sleeper in the American League is the Tigers. I loved their offseason. Javi Baez, Austin Meadows, what's not to like? Other than the actual team itself. So the Tigers were subjected to the Elijah Campbell radio curse, just like Tennessee was when on Friday, before the game one against Notre Dame, I said Notre Dame didn't have a shot to win a game in the series, let alone enough to necessitate punching their ticket to Omaha, which is exactly what they did.
Yeah. Well, you weren't alone, so you know, we can't just put that all on you. And, you know, overconfidence, I guess, comes into the discussion with upsets. But, man, look, it's just, again, it's baseball. And I think some of that stuff is overconfidence. I feel like that maybe plays into other sports more.
Whereas, when you have less margin for error, I feel like it does. Yeah.
Well, again, it's like take your other team sports. You know, there's a certain like collective like intensity or execution of different things, right? That can be focus, can be intensity, can be preparation. That you're reacting in fast speed to different things. Baseball, again, is just like, here's the pitcher, here's the hitter. Like, I mean, it's pressure. It is a different level of pressure to me on individuals. And some of them, we talked about it, did not adapt well, did not react well to that in the postseason. So, but again, Notre Dame's not going to get enough credit for what they did. They've got some good players. I mean, when you knock out their ace and flip it on them in Saturday's game two, I mean, I think yesterday everybody there.
That felt like a gut punch in that moment.
Right. And it felt, yesterday just felt like going in, like just, you know, it's the coronation day. Okay, everybody get ready for your celebration. And it still felt like that. Although
through six innings.
Well, and Tennessee had squandered some opportunities to really open up that game in a couple situations. But still at 3-1, it felt like, okay, I mean, they've got the bullpen to do this. And that's the thing too. Remember, I mean, their bullpen guys didn't get the job done either. They came into a tough spot, but it all just fell apart.
I went back and looked at it too because I was curious. I was like, genuinely asked the question if Chase Burns was in the game too long, and he only pitched 6 2/3 of an innings or more in only three outings this year, including yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. Like the pitch count was low and all that, but he hadn't done even that many pitches in a while and not a lot this year. So,
and that's facing the lineup like a third time.
Exactly. And again, I mean, it's just, you know, that the tying home run is just like, wow.
Probably could have been a sign.
Ballpark. I mean, that is the ballpark, classic ballpark home run. The second one, though, that was out anywhere.
No doubt. Yeah, that's a no doubter. Yeah, Lindsey Nelson giveth, Lindsey Nelson also taketh away.
So the question that Michelle put into the grid, worst loss, this for UT fans, this or Rick Barnes' team in the second round to Michigan?
I would say this. I would say this fairly confidently too, mostly because I feel, and like maybe if you play these two teams, Tennessee and Notre Dame, maybe play them 10 times, maybe Tennessee wins the 7, you know, maybe they figure that team
probably
out. Because I felt that way about Tennessee and Michigan. I think if you play Tennessee and Michigan in basketball 10 times, that Tennessee team is probably winning it 6-7 times out of that. That Michigan team is also really talented. They just underperformed in the regular season. I don't have the feeling that this Notre Dame team underperformed in the regular season. They probably had an accurate seeding,
mm-hmm.
Based off of like the talent they have and the program they have. But in a one-game scenario, I find it to be where, especially Tennessee was the better team until about what, last 5 minutes of the game when they couldn't hit a three, had trouble keeping the ball.
Well, I mean, Michigan punched him in the mouth early, and then Tennessee had that run late first half. I mean, I guess. I agree if you're talking opponents. I would agree because this is the best team and everybody. I mean, let me tell you, the city of Omaha, hotels in the city of Omaha today, oh my goodness, are they seeing just cancel,
yep.
Thousands, okay? It was going to be incredibly orange in Omaha. So I agree with this, but when you look at that UT basketball team having won the SEC tournament, for the first time since 1979, I believe,
Pretty significant.
And just on a roll and looking like, okay, this is going to be the first Final Four team in program history, or has a really good chance. This team could beat Villanova, and they could have, by the way. You know, this team could have gotten to the first Final Four in program history. So, you know, to not even get to the next weekend. Round and get to the regional, that's a tough one. That one also, like, a totally different feel to me in terms of that one becomes, again, Rick Barnes, right? It becomes about Rick Barnes.
It's a ghost.
Which I totally get. I mean, it's what – and honestly, I think that – I wrote this then, too. I think those players so badly want to end that thing that it adds pressure to the situation.
That's why they probably gator-armed some of those threes, because they know, especially, it's like, I mean, now you get that hole late in the game. It's probably a mental factor where it's like, here we go again.
Yeah. No, I mean, look, Michigan's like, you know what? We're not going to let Kenny Chandler just – get to the rim anymore. Okay, so you're just helping off those corner guys, and guess what? They're wide open, and they miss again.
The most coveted three-point shot in the game.
Yeah. So, and then this is, well, I guess, I don't know, I'd be interested to hear from Tennessee fans on, like, Vitello. I mean, to me, keep doing what you're doing, man. You know, be who you are, recruit players who you want, who are that competitive, talk some trash, win. And you know, they'll get, I mean, chances are if they keep putting together teams like this and continue this momentum, they're going to have a lot more chances to do this.
I'm sure Rick Barnes is probably telling, if he's giving me advice, keep doing what you're doing, because obviously it's successful, but be prepared for the narrative talk that's going to come if it keeps happening, because Rick Barnes is cursed by it. You know, everywhere he goes, it's, Can't win in March. This happens again to Tennessee, like, next year, where they don't get to Omaha and they have even like a 45-win season. Like, people are going to start saying it, whether it's fair or not, which I don't think it probably will be.
Yeah.
Just because
it's very early.
Postseasons in all sports can be crapshoots. That's like the whole point of it. Like, that's a reason why in European soccer they don't have playoffs. They crown a champion at the end of the regular season.
That's a fair point.
It's a uniquely American thing.
Well, yeah. Well, so here's the thing. Yeah, I mean, the Rick Barnes thing is just over so much time. With you know, I mean, look, it's, I mean, the numbers are pretty eye opening, right? In terms of, like, as the lower seed, like, basically never wins, and you know, like it's, I don't know what it is, but there's something missing there when you have that much regular season success and then that much lack of success in the postseason. Yeah. But you know, when you talk about Vitello, you know, it's interesting. Thinking about, like, Tim Corbin in his early years.
And same things happen.
I don't know. Now, granted, again, Vitello got to Omaha last year, pretty early. But, like, Corbin had some great teams, right? And they built up, and it was like, wow, this is a legit program. And then 07, we know what happened. But it took him, you know, until what year was that? Like, his ninth year to get to Omaha with a lot of good teams, I mean, that had – before that, who absolutely could have gotten there. So I'm sure there were some people at that point, oh, is he ever going to figure it out? And then all of a sudden it's just an avalanche of
success.
Omaha and two natties and, you know, what, the final series a couple other times. And frankly, in 2020, Vanderbilt probably would have won it all. They would have probably had the chance to be that one seed going in, so maybe they wouldn't have then.
That dreaded one seed.
Yes. Don't get it.
No.
Avoid that.
Not. Lance on our text under WilsonCountyHyundai.com did mention the 2012 Doors were 26-3 in the SEC.
2013, but yeah.
Or 2013,
yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Best team on paper they've ever had, didn't even make it to the Super Regional.
Yes. Yes, absolutely, Lance. I mean, that's the thing. They were the two seed that year in 2013, but they were – a lot of people thought they were going to win it, you know. And then so they lose in the Super Regional maybe a little bit more – conventional way, you know, Louisville, great pitchers. And if you have a team with a couple great pitchers in the Supers, that could be it for you. That was Notre Dame's hope, you know. They had two really good starters. And their best one got crushed, and they still won the series.
Which I think probably makes this series hurt worse than the basketball one. Because you had multiple games to do it.
Yes.
Notre Dame's golden opportunity came on Saturday and still didn't get it. And they still found a way to steal it from you, I think probably is the bigger gut punch here. But it's something, if you're a Vols fan, please chime in, 615-737-1025. If you're a Vols fan, is the loss yesterday against Notre Dame to steal a chance to go to Omaha worse than Tennessee basketball's SEC tournament championship being negated by a second-round loss to Michigan. We continue the discussion on the other side. Listening to Robbie and Rex at ESPN 102.5, 106.3 The Game, The Game Nashville app. Conversation continues. Was yesterday's Tennessee baseball loss worse than the basketball loss to Michigan in the second round of the NCAA tournament? Obviously, taking your calls and texts on our phone lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Also, we interact on Twitter, too. We're a very well-rounded group here. At Sir Drake Wilson on Twitter responds to our tweet saying, only program in history of the SEC to win the SEC baseball tournament and basketball tournament in the same year. I think things we find in Knoxville, however, the series loss is way worse, though. Tend to agree.
Yeah, I mean, I think if you did an online poll on this question, I think it'd be a landslide. But it does – it's worth bringing up, and it also brings up the fact that just for the Tennessee fan in general, man – tough run here. Tough run. I mean, what's the last – you know, I do think that this coming year, I actually think that Kelly Harper's team has a chance to be really good. If you look at what they've done in adding talent, like that could be a special team. And, you know, that team did get to the Sweet 16. But, like, what's the last Tennessee team – I guess you go back to last year. Last year you got to Omaha, right?
It was a special team last year.
And, of course, you want to do better in Omaha. So, you know, you lose two games, don't play your best. But I would still say, like, last year was an example of a Tennessee team that, like, kind of fulfilled what people hoped of it. Then again, I think the big difference, too, is, like, I can't quantify it. I can't prove it. But I would bet that last year's run and then what happened all this year greatly increased the eyeballs of the general Tennessee fan on this baseball team. The way more people are into and will be, but were into this team than last year's team. That's what it felt like to me.
Well, especially when you're that dominant too. Right. I think once they got to when they were they won their first 20 plus games of the season, that they didn't get a loss until that weird Tennessee Tech loss at the Smoky Stadium. You know, I think when you're that dominant in non-conference and conference all year, once conference play started and you're still kicking everybody's rear the way they were, I think that's kind of when they started fully investing. And for basketball, too, like that, like last year's Tennessee basketball team, as we know, was loaded with talent, really good. But people were concerned about the offense all year. There's a concern all year about one element of the team. And there were like points in the year where they did kind of not look like the team they ended up being.
Yeah, they weren't great all year.
Yeah, this baseball team all year long was great. Like, really, they weren't at their best, just at the worst part of the year in terms of pitching, because Georgia Tech and Campbell were able to get to them in the regionals, and it wasn't fatal. And then when Notre Dame was able to get to them in the two or three most important innings of the year, then it became fatal.
Yeah, and look. One way, you know, as we went through the year, it was like, how's this team compared to the greatest teams of all time, college baseball? And look, had they gotten to Omaha, had they just finished the deal yesterday, that increases as a topic. They have to win it for it to really be discussed. But
I would still discuss it even if they didn't. I think even if you at least get to the College World Series, then I think stuff can happen when you're playing the other seven best teams in the country.
Sure, that's true, yeah. But so that will be ultimately all those discussions are also like you kind of need a few years, because let's face it, when you go back and look at best teams, okay, what big time pros were on that team? And that's part of it, right? I mean,
yeah,
I mean, it is like it's performance, but it's also like, oh, and you know, 07 Vanderbilt, David Price, he was the best player in college baseball, but did you know for sure at that point he's going to do what he did? Well, now that he did, it looks even better, right? Or they look even stronger a few years from now. I'm going to look back at this Tennessee roster, and I believe you're going to see a lot of these guys in Major League Baseball, especially, you know, these pitchers. And that's the great thing for Tennessee is, you know, Drew Beam, Chase Burns, Chase Dolander all back next year. They're going to have the best rotation in baseball.
And again, that alone will carry you, even with losing Beck and Gilbert. Like that's like you're that's that can carry
and Tidwell.
And Tidwell, yeah.
Like who could be a first rounder. But again, Tidwell could be a first rounder. Those guys could be. I mean, there's a lot of guys on this team who I think could make a mark in Major League Baseball, and these pitchers now who are coming back. So then, in, you know, again, you look back 10 years from now and say, how did that team not get to Omaha? What? You know?
could definitely be that, because we think the same way with that 07 team, because obviously David Price, like you said, goes on to have that successful career. Pedro Alvarez had some really good years in Pittsburgh, and it's like, oh, well, they had bats, you know, the pitching was that good, and it just never actually came to fruition, which makes that loss, I would say, for your average Vanderbilt baseball fan, hurt even worse. Is now you look back on it, like, oh, I think it was just loaded with talent, not like, oh, they were talented then, but nobody ever actually developed into being like really good pros.
Right, right. Speaking of Vanderbilt, it's man, I don't know why I embrace these things, but sometimes it just gets out of control.
You're still
they're
you're,
so mad. They're and again, like,
you're in the weeds on that. Well, I can tell.
But it's just like, look. Talk trash. Enjoy it. Of course you will. I just disagree with you that, like, this is like, yeah, like karma or some comeuppance that shows that how they go about things, you know, is going to just can't work. Or especially just the whole, you know, soiling the sport with their behavior and stuff. Like, guys, come on. I mean, we can all agree on the times they crossed the line. We can all agree on that. I mean, that's like, well, I shouldn't say we all. There's some Tennessee fans who, like, way over embrace, like, the middle finger. Like, okay, come on, guys. Like, yeah, you don't need to do that, right? Come on.
Right.
So, you know, but just this idea that, like, they are so different from everyone else. Like, that's so, they're a complete outlier in their behavior. They were on the edge. They were intense. A couple of them, as Tony Vitello used the word, his word, maniacs. That's true. It's fair. I mean, come on, people. You would love these guys if they were your coaches and players. You would love them. College sports, tribalism, and just hypocrisy.
Tribalism is the best way to put it.
Our coach wouldn't blah, blah, blah. And again, I understand specifically with Vanderbilt, I agree. Like Tim Corbin, there's some great stories of like him with the opponent and all, and you know, his graciousness. My goodness, I struggle with that one.
That's a hard one.
Yeah. I mean, and that's great. That's awesome. I mean, you can't take anything away from him. Everybody's different. But like Tony Vitello is not like some like enemy of sporting.
He's not flipping off
enemy
the
of like
beat him too,
you know, human behavior and the sporting life. You know, he's an intense coach who sometimes screams at umps, and he did throw the bat. That was dumb. He bumped the ump. That happens. He got suspended. Dude wasn't out there middle fingering Notre Dame when they beat him yesterday and destroyed his what might be the best team he ever coaches. He went out there and shook their hands. You know, it's there's a lot of exaggeration going.
There's a lot of you can look at college basketball. A lot of coaches do a lot of stuff like that, like the Bob Knight thing. You know, notorious for doing things a whole lot worse than Tony Vitello has done for Tennessee, and even Coach K isn't necessarily the most gracious loser on the planet either. Obviously, well documented on both of those. So,
Scott in Hoptown on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHunter.com. Okay, let's go ahead and get it out there. Did Tennessee's antics of the pimp coat, bat spiking, bird flipping cause them to get a bad dose of karma? One thing they did is cause a lot of other SEC fan bases to become Notre Dame fans. Well, I totally agree with the second part, Scott.
They wouldn't want to have it any other way.
Yeah. I mean, amazing how much celebrating all around the SEC happened yesterday. Everybody loved that, no doubt. And again, you should. I mean, they were a great team to root against. They were bad boys, like, or I saw someone made the, you know, Miami Hurricanes football of the 80s comparison. I mean, you know, there's some parallels.
Some on-field parallels, yeah.
But, yeah.
A lot more has to go wrong off the field.
Right, right. Yeah, exactly. But, no, your first question is kind of what we've been talking about, Scott. No, they lost in baseball. You know, they didn't play their best. Some of them definitely did not handle the pressure. I don't think that the fur coat, you know, like, was haunting them yesterday.
Or the daddy hat was really haunting them.
Yeah.
Was the reason they lost.
Well, it's like someone on Twitter yesterday was like, see, it's because of the way they act that teams get so. I'm like, so Notre Dame they had this huge comeback because they're like, think about these guys and what they do to disrespect the game.
This was for Georgia Tech.
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah. I mean, it's just, you know. No. It's all a bit much. But, hey, again, talk your trash.
Yeah, we're fans of a bit
much. Today's the day.
We are all fans of a bit much on this show. And A.J. Brown is a bit much on Twitter. A bit much will be made of the attendance of Titans minicamp, which starts next week when the mandatory stuff starts. There, we will be counting heads. We will be counting tweets. We do that on the other side to kick off hour number two of Robbie and Rex Road, ESPN 102.5, 106.3 The Game, and The Game Nashville app.